I know. I know. It's a kind of an absurd title, but let's be honest. I think this question has become more prevalent with the popularity of villains like the Joker, and I'm not just talking about 2008's interpretation of the Joker through The Dark Knight. Granted, Heath Ledger did play a big role in that, and it's a shame he passed because, in addition to giving a great performance, he gave us a great character to analyze and reflect on the moral spectrum of what we define as good or evil. Now, I'm pretty sure that there were a lot of people that were self-conscious and had an awareness of the type of moral questions a character as intelligent and as self-aware as Hannibal Lecter posed were around. But going to the Joker slightly, I'm pretty sure that anybody watching that interrogation scene, aside from being on the edge of their heels and being highly entertained, felt like they were being intellectually challenged on the nature of morality, especially within a civilized culture that can easily break down given the delicacy that holds it together. And I think The Dark Knight is a perfect example of that. I've watched that scene multiple times, I've read comments, and some of them even interpret that it's not really Batman that's interrogating the Joker so much as it's the Joker interrogating Batman. And there is some truth to that, because Batman doesn't really say much in that scene until he really gets angry after the Joker reveals the real nature of his plan. But even if you can't make that comment or hold some validity, the fact that he's not saying anything alone showcases on some level, when the Joker talks about the morality of modern society being a joke that can easily be dropped once shit hits the fan or once something it's backed into a corner, you can tell on some level Batman agrees with him. I mean, it even goes back to that speech about the bad day speech from Alan Moore's The Killing Joke, where the Joker says, "I had a bad day. You had a bad day once. Why else would you dress up as a flying rodent?" And there is some truth to that, because, yeah, we like to assume that Batman is an embodiment of orderly justice and stability, but really, he's just the extreme reaction to a world that only operates on a limited amount of moral principles that can easily be dropped. And the Joker's the other side of that extreme. I mean, that's why they're compared and looked as two sides of the same coin, in some sense. And I often think that there are a multitude of other antagonists within literature and film that pose that similar question, even if they are presented in a different fashion. I mean, look, Hannibal Lecter is, in many ways, he embodies a bit of a trickster-like archetype, very much like the Joker. And that has to do with the elegance, the flair, and just the charisma he embodies. And the Joker can be charismatic from time to time, but Hannibal Lecter is just like this archetype for sophisticated evil. He's highly intelligent, very articulate, well-dressed, has great taste. He has an appreciation for art and culture that you think to yourself, if you were to compare him to the average human being who considers himself a good person or just follows the rules of society but doesn't really think about why, you would probably have more respect for someone like Hannibal Lecter, given the fact that he knows that at the end of the day, he is who he is out of sheer will. I know, you can attribute the fact that that Hannibal Lecter's evil nature is the result of the tragedy he suffered when he was a young boy, of losing his sister and having to eat her. When it comes to that, because I heard a rumor back around the time that Hannibal Rising came out, that backstory, that origin was written by Thomas Harris just so it could be compared to the release of the film Hannibal Rising. And I haven't really heard many good things about Hannibal Rising. I've seen the actor Gaspar Ulliel's performance, but only briefly because I've never seen the film. And there is that one scene where he kills Joe Chill from Batman Begins with the horse, and even in a bad movie, that is a pretty fucked up scene and very twisted. But it feels rather, if it's a film that's just meant to scare you rather than to think, it's more pornographic, and that's definitely antithetical to someone like Hannibal Lecter, who does kill with a sense of purpose. I mean, the fact that he wouldn't go after Clarice Starling, simply because he would consider it rude, does say something about his character, that he has his own moral code. And there is something very Nietzschean about that, too. Even though I would never advocate Hannibal Lecter as the embodiment of modern morality, given that he is still a very twisted human being. I mean, watch Silence of the Lambs and look how he fucking... I mean, how he just ripped a dude's face off and used it as a face mask. I mean, it shows his brilliance and the kind of things he's willing to tolerate, or the lack of a filter he's willing to demonstrate just so he can outsmart people that are technically more powerful than he is on a physical level. And then there's the fact that there are some people he considers intellectual equals and some that he just considers absolutely disgraceful, that just the idea that they'd compare themselves to him is rather insulting. I mean, let's be honest. Would I advocate for someone like Childress to be killed? Probably not. Although, I probably would find someone like Childress to be petty, swarmy, superficial, empty, and just overall pathetic when compared to Hannibal Lecter, especially when he makes the claim to Clarice Starling while he's describing Lecter that Lecter considers me his nemesis. I mean, look, as I said, I would never advocate for the morality of someone like Hannibal Lecter, but there is a part of me that takes disrespect to that, given that evil as someone as Hannibal Lecter is, he is the type of evil you respect because he does have his own principles. He isn't a coward. He isn't the kind of guy that would easily betray his own principles. Now, desperation has its moments where certain compromises can be made, but again, Hannibal Lecter is a unique character with his own sense of morality that it makes you reanalyze the idea of morality as to whether Hannibal Lecter is evil at all. Or at least he's evil by the standards that we judge him. But again, this goes back to the Joker. And I'm not just talking about Christopher Nolan's Joker. Let's look at Todd Phillips' Joker from 2019's Joker. That famous scene where he's in the talk show where he tells Murray, when they tell him, well, that's when they tell him that joke he made, which was a sick and twisted joke, that's not funny. Well, he just tells him, well, comedy is subjective. And then he just goes on a rant where he basically judges everybody in that audience and calls out their inherent hypocrisy and how they take so much comfort in the limitations or the certain freedoms the system gives them, but only from the context of the comfort it grants them that they behave so well, but only because it allows them to, rather than they allowing them deciding for themselves, and they just go along with it as a form of mass formation and groupthink. And you could say that the way we look at the world in a traditional moral context is a form of groupthink. Now, I'm not advocating for anybody to take on the morality of someone like the Joker, Hannibal Lecter, or any other character within pop culture that makes you think about what is right and wrong, because at the end of the day, they are still twisted human beings. But it still is worth analyzing. And I think another really great and even highly underrated scene is from Silence of the Lambs, when Hannibal Lecter is presented before that senator. And in addition to insulting her, there's something I found isn't really discussed, because, look, aside from that woman being a politician, and today politicians are definitely looked upon with a lot more skepticism, cynicism, pessimism, and just an borderline level of distrust, that it becomes impossible to truly say you have faith in them or think that they represent the very people or the very ideals of which they claimed they were for when they were running for office. I mean, nowadays, with the avalanche of social issues that a person can put on a pedestal and run on, it's really difficult to decide what the politician actually believes. I mean, when Barack Obama was running for president in 2008, he claimed that marriage, in his eyes, was strictly between a man and a woman. Yeah, in 2012, when he's rerunning for his second term, he claims that his daughter served as inspirations for him supporting same-sex marriage, as if he actually gives a shit. I mean, I personally think he didn't give a shit about the issue. He just went with whatever would be helpful because, let's face it, the point of a politician nowadays, or sadly, people have just come to realize that the only functions politicians serve outside of just acquiring more and more power, the only purpose they serve is just getting reelected, and that's why they do what they do or campaign the way they campaign, rather than actually standing up for something worthwhile and making the people that they're supposed to be serving feel like they're not wasting their fucking time. Now, what does this have to do with the senator within Silence of the Lambs? Nothing really, at least not in a direct level, because we don't really know who the senator is. I mean, the most positive statement you can make about her is that she's a loving mother, and this is best illustrated in the scene where Clary, where she's basically going on live television pleading for Buffalo Bill to release her daughter. But she's not simply referring to her as her daughter. She's calling her Catherine directly, and she's obviously assigning a sense of agency to her as a human being. She doesn't see her as just a prop or just a tool to gain attention or popularity as a senator posing as a good mother. You can tell she's a loving mother, but that doesn't excuse the fact that at the end of the day, she is still a politician, and it's never clear what she's had to do to get to where she is. And I'm not saying all politicians who even do damage through their policies are deliberately bad people. I am not going to say that. I'm not going to defend someone like Bill Clinton or Joe Biden when they signed the 1994, I think it was the 1994 crime bill that incarcerated so many nonviolent offenders and is the reason the prison industrial complex is the massive industry that it is today. But do I think they did that out of pure maliciousness, like some cackling villains in a castle plotting to create this massive complex? No, they're probably thinking about money, but they also probably thinking in some hardline form of justice that is very antiquated. And who knows what kind of laws that senator from Silence of the Lambs has had to do? Who knows what policies she signed that has destroyed or even made the economic lives of the people in her state much more difficult? I can't say. But the reason I think that's something to look at is because that scene where Hannibal Lecter just humiliates and insults her is really worth looking at, because the absolute disgust she shows to Lecter when she sees how horrible, how nasty, and how he's just willing to, how raw he is when getting under her skin. You can see the disgust in her voice when she just says, "Take this thing back to Baltimore." And you can definitely sympathize with that. I mean, if you were a person and you who you know, if you had someone you cared about and their life was at risk and every second felt like an eternity of drowning, and somebody decides to play with that and emotionally manipulate you for their own amusement, it is a very repulsive thing. But looking at the big picture, can you honestly say that someone like Hannibal Lecter, who has just simply murdered a few people, in comparison to a senator who has probably signed the kinds of laws that impact a greater scale of people in ways that, although she doesn't necessarily consider directly responsible, there is some sense of agency that at least assigns her that form of responsibility? I mean, let's be honest. I'm sure, let's use COVID as an example. In the beginning, there were many lockdowns in different states, and these lockdowns were either orchestrated, not orchestrated, they were issued by politicians who were obviously going with the party line of believing that the lockdowns were the best safety measures. But that obviously impacted a lot of people on an economic level that it made it virtually impossible for them not to have some direct sense of responsibility. Because even if they had good intentions, those good intentions were misguided, manipulated, and part of a mass effort of groupthink, which impacted the lives of people that are in less fina in a lesser fin place of financial standing. And that's the truth of it. I'm not saying that the senator from Silence of the Lambs is an evil person. I'm not saying that whatever, I can't tell what laws she signed or what policies she's enacted, whether they, but it would be very irresponsible of me to say that they were all good or all bad. Just like I was, if I was to say that Hannibal Lecter is absolutely pure evil, I mean, a lot of the things he does are definitely fucked up, but he does have his own morality, and the one thing you can't say is it isn't a result of some confinement that society placed on him. It's something that he chose. I think there's a scene from one of the Hannibal films where he says, "Nothing happened," or maybe it's from the book, "Nothing happened for me to be who I was. I simply always have been." I guess that's how it goes, that basically nothing traumatic or tragic had to happen for him to become the person that he was. He just was who he was, and he has an awareness of how relative it is on a moral scale. Now I realize that the origin story of his sister and the trauma he went from World War II probably played an impact on that, and as I said earlier, I do have mixed feelings on it, because that is still a pretty good origin story in framing the morality of a character who realized just how decrepit and depraved human beings can be in the most desperate of circumstances, that even can be compared to the Joker bad day speech, where all it takes is just really one bad day for the sanest person to give themselves to lunacy and sacrifice the same moral virtues that prevented them from succumbing to that insanity before. I mean, Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight is a perfect example. You see in the beginning, he's this upstanding white knight-like attorney who is truly interested in helping Gotham City. And that definitely makes him a target. But it's only after he suffers the loss of Rachel that he becomes insane. He sacrifices his own moral code and goes on a killing spree. And he even adopts a new philosophy that morality, the only real ethical way of living in life, is through chance, an unbiased and unprejudiced fashion. And look, I mean, as twisted as that is, there is some truth to that, because at the end of the day, morality is just a concept that we humans all massively, en masse, agreed with, because it helped function, it helped us become civilized, it helped establish some sense of order. When you see how delicate that order is, or how it can easily be violated, or loads of people can just give it up once greater incentives take place as part of their need to survive, it's very terrifying, because how correct the Joker, Harvey, and Hannibal Lecter are, because it is all just an act of will of what moral code society assigns a person, how much they commit themselves to it. I like to think of, I mean, it's not that I enjoy thinking about it, but I think that's the beauty of these characters. They make you think about what is right and what is wrong, or what right and wrong truly are, when analyzed from the idea, from a place of comfort that can easily be violated once shit hits the fan and you realize, once you ask yourself, why am I still following this? Why am I still abiding by these principles, especially when all they've done is overall fuck me throughout the course of my life. Now, my personal thoughts on Hannibal Lecter and his moral code is, do I like to think that something tragic like the origin story that was written as part of a Hannibal Rising made him the way he was? That's difficult, because it is still a fairly decent approach, or maybe it was just the timing, given how long the character had been around within our minds and within pop culture. I would like to believe that the idea that he was always like that, and he just had an awareness of it, of how messed up and how irrelevant morality is in comparison to what he views as useful, is even more terrifying, and it creates a lot more dimension for the character, because the fact that a person could understand this from just analyzing and thinking about it rather than only starting to contemplate it after suffering immense tragedy makes them much more interesting. Hell, There was this YouTube analysis of The Dark Knight by this guy called Captain Logan from a YouTube series called Superhero Rewind, where he analyzed the Joker and he posed many theories based off the scar stories he gives in the Dark Knight. But one of the assumptions he made is there is also the possibility that whether maybe nothing tragic happened to the Joker, maybe he was just a very smart, intelligent man who realized all this hypocrisy is just something that we brush off in order to maintain some sense of civility. I mean, he framed it more like maybe he was just a super intelligent man who saw so much hypocrisy that he just decided that morality is a relative concept. And again, I don't necessarily like abiding by that, but there is truth to that, given how easily human beings can succumb to the type of lunacy you see in riots, mass formations, or just once some catastrophe strikes. I mean, if a power outage took over an entire city, people would riot, they'd loot, just not enough for the sake of chaos. Chaos would ensue as a result of this, of the masses' desire to survive. Because, as tragic as it is to admit, human beings are still animals. And animals will do what they need to survive. I mean, we don't judge a lion when it rips a gazelle or a zebra apart on an ethical level. We just understand it needs to eat, it wants to survive, and we can't judge it as cruel. I mean, it's not even being cruel if it's going for the instant kill, as opposed to some humans who enact the kind of kills that border on a sense of cruelty and moral depravity. But again, that's all based on how we look at morality and analyze it. I like to look at characters like Hannibal Lecter and the Joker as good modicums for exploring the relativity of ethics within a culture that in many ways is kind of experiencing that now, given how we're starting to lose faith in the very institutional forces that had a say in how we lived our lives ethically or what really commanded respectability. I mean, being a politician is real. I mean, go back to politics, or more precisely the political angle. Can you really say there's a difference between being a politician and being a fucking whore? Yeah, I mean, maybe that's kind of a crass and maybe a bit, I guess, flagrant point. But again, this is just me throwing some thoughts out there out of my own curiosity towards a character and the ideas they espouse. Anyway, that's enough of my babbling. I hope you all enjoy this episode of Open Door Films. Check out the sponsors, Fountain and Anchor. No, not Anchor, Spotify for podcasters. And check out the Bitcoin buying links I've left down below, because you know what? Any referral helps me make some extra money and build from this podcast. And you even get a reward on your own end. But yeah, check out the sponsors. Support this podcast in whatever way you want. If you want to see it grow into something significant and that doesn't make me look like a pseudo-intellectual rambling on about Hannibal Lecter and the Joker and how maybe they're not so bad, you know, and maybe the politicians who dress nice and, speak more properly are more fucked up than we realize. Anyway, that's enough of my babbling. Hope you all enjoyed this episode, and till next time.